What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 32. All right, so in light of all the craziness going on right now, I want to talk to you about how two things can be true at the same time. Let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody? And I am super excited to talk to you today, all fired up. We got so much stuff going on in the world, living this quarantine life. Makes me even more excited to be able to talk with you on a solo week like this. So today, I want to kind of talk to you about a couple of different things, because I feel like there's certain things going on right now kind of within our society, within our culture, within the public dialogue that also apply to so many things kind of outside of the kind of crazy times, I guess, that we're living in right now. So over the past couple of weeks, basically what I've done, I feel like, is I've questioned some of the narrative that is going on within the media, within social media, thrown out some different questions, a few opinions here and there on social media, and I've found something crazy that's happened in response to that. Number one, which is kind of a bummer, in all honesty, is that I've been unfriended from some people that I actually respect kind of in the entrepreneurial world, people who I've known for a few years, people who I've kind of worked with, I guess, in certain degrees. But again, like, nonetheless, people that I do respect in the entrepreneurial space. I know that's because of some of the thoughts that I put out there, some of the opinions that I put out there. And to be unfriended over opinions or thoughts or questions maybe that I've posed is kind of a bummer. Along with that, I've also received a lot more personal messages, like PMs, whatever, direct DMs, right? I'm still learning all this stuff. Direct messages. Okay, that's what it is. I've received a lot more direct messages from other people, basically thanking me for being a voice of reason, thanking me for kind of questioning the status quo, and that's been a really, really cool part of it. And so I think that along with sharing opinions or, maybe trying to build a movement or build a company or build whatever it is that maybe you're out there looking to build right now, along with that is going to come some resistance. There's going to be, people who don't jive with what you're trying to do. And again, this, take away the social media stuff, because I mean, at the end of the day, social media, it's not real life, right? It really isn't. Most of everybody uses it as highlight reels or kind of look at me, right? It's pretty self-indulgent a lot of times with social media. But it is kind of indicative of the culture, right? Kind of the overarching parts of our culture obviously are showing up within social media. So what I've noticed is that, we're kind of in a time right now to where we have to make decisions. And these are like big decisions, society decisions. What are we willing to stand for versus what are we willing to allow to happen? Because in all of these things, that it seems like we're living in a time to where there's no gray area allowed, right? So if you're someone like me who questions some of the hysteria around the response, okay, and this is going on data, this is going on a new study that came out that says most likely there's been 50 to 80 times more people infected with coronavirus than what has been, caught by tests. So if that is the case, then we'd probably be looking at, less than a 1% death rate from it, which puts it kind of, a more deadly form of the flu, basically, more contagious, but still it's not an existential threat to most people. Okay. Now, again, if you say that before you turn off the podcast because you disagree with me, if you say that, you're looked at someone who is not taking this serious, right? If you fall on the side of being someone who says, I think business should be allowed to open, you fall, then at that point, people will judge you and say that you want people to die. You want grandma to die because you're selfish. Believe me, these are the comments that I've gotten from people, okay? And I am not, I've never looked at myself, I should say, as being a polarizing person. I'm not the type of person that goes and wants to pick fights on social media. I'm not the type of person that wants to be in conflict all the time. Like, there's a certain degree of mental health that goes along with not constantly being in conflict, right? So I've never viewed myself as being that person. But at the same token, if there's no one willing to stand up and present logic, okay, logic, not emotion, but logic and facts and statistics, if no one is willing to do that, then we're all just going to stay in this perpetual state of fear. And I want to tell you something, and I know I've talked about this just a little bit, but I want to go a little bit deeper into something. Fear is something that is used to control people, okay? It always has been, it always will be, because fear invokes an emotional response within us. We have a flight or fight mentality from fear for a reason, right? It's to keep you safe in the old times from the tiger getting you, right? Like, we have that fear, we take off running. You know, I had posted an example of this a while back. Like, I remember I was probably like 10 or 11 years old, and I was walking down a dirt road where we used to live. And it was a hot summer day, you know, afternoon, and I'm walking down this dirt road all by myself, and I get ready to step into this shadowy spot on the road. And right as I'm putting my foot down, I just happened to look down, and there was literally a big old rattlesnake coiled up. And I probably got, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches away from stepping on this stupid, oh, I hate him. But yeah, probably like 3 or 4 inches away from just stepping right on the snake. And I don't know if it had bit me or crawled off or whatever else, right? But I looked down right before I put my foot down. And the next thing I realized is I was like 100 yards down the road, you know, heart beating, and it was one of those things to where you look back and you're like, I don't even know what just happened. I remember seeing a snake, and now I'm like here looking back, wondering if that snake chased me or whatever. You know, you're a kid, you're thinking the snake's after you. But I just remember, and that was like one of the first memories that I have of that flight response just really kicking in. The thing is that happens, though, in all of our lives all the time. Maybe not to that degree, right? Because that was kind of like a blur. But when you're living in a constant state of fear, you'll allow things to happen because you're not thinking logically. You're not thinking clearly. You're thinking from a place of fear. And so I remember, again, like I've touched on this a little bit, but I remember like when I first got into sales. So if any of you out there are in sales, if you're looking to get into sales, one of the things that you will learn if you, you know, read the books, if you, you know, want to be any good at it is, you know, and maybe this sounds really bad, but one of the things that you will learn is you will learn how to sell from a place of fear, okay? You probably have noticed it and maybe not even thought about it, but it's a fear tactic to be able to, when someone goes down to buy a car and you say, okay, great, I really love the car, really love the pickup, whatever, give me a couple days to think about it. Okay, that salesman at that point is going to try to figure out how to induce fear into you, or FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. So what that salesman is probably going to do is a couple of different things. Never sold cars, but I've been on the other end of this, which is, how many times have you gone to get a car and you really liked it, and then you said maybe you wanted to think about it for a couple days, or you wanted to go show your wife or your husband or your parents or whatever else, and that salesman says, yeah, that's fine, but you know, I did get a call. Somebody's driving over here from the other side of the state to take a look at it, and they're really serious about it. Okay, all of a sudden that puts us in a state of fear. Why? Well, because now all of a sudden we have this fear that if we actually really do want it, but yet we want a little bit of time to think about it, puts us in a state of fear to make an emotional response, which is, I really want this car. And if I leave right now, this car may not be here when I come back. Okay, so whether or not that is true or not, and hopefully the salespeople that you deal with are honorable, respectable people, and maybe it really is true. Maybe someone literally is driving over from the other side of the state to look at this very car that you just happen to be looking at. Maybe that is true. Or maybe it's just a lie, right? And that's bad. But people in car sales do this all the time. Okay, well, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and think about it for a couple of days. But right now we have this 0% interest sale going on. So if you, yeah, if you wait a couple of days, that's fine. You're probably just going to pay a lot more for it if you're financing it, because, you know, it's going to go from 0% to 5%. And, you know, over 5 years, that's going to be an extra $10,000 and, you know, all this fear. And now all of a sudden, like, okay, fear, like, I don't want to spend an extra $10,000. I better buy it right now. Right? Like, these are the same things that happen in our society, within our media. Why? Okay. Now, before you think that I'm some tinfoil hat wearing psychopath, why would fear be perpetuated within the media? The exact same reason why it's perpetuated in sales, because fear sells. Fear sells. Okay. If I were going to, let's say I'm going to sell you a coaching program to help you build your business from six figures to seven figures. I did that for several years, right? So we would talk to people who are like a six figure level and help them get to a seven figure level. Like, that's what our company did. Now, as soon as they start saying, yeah, I'm not really sure if I want to do that. Okay, perfect. Well, let me ask you this. Like, do you see yourself growing to that seven figure mark if you don't do something like this? Well, no, not really. Okay, perfect. So, you know, what's going to happen if all of a sudden, what's going to happen if you decide not to do this and, you know, you're not able to pay for that college fund for your kids? You know, like, you're making six figures now, but I mean, gee, some of these colleges, they're $40,000-$50,000 a year. You've got three kids. What if you don't build your business bigger? What if you can't figure out how to make some more money with this business? Do you think you're going to help your kids out with college? Like, this is stuff that people say on the phones. This is stuff that people use to close deals. It's fear, right? It's fear. Because now all of a sudden that parent, that dad, that mom, whoever, that dad is sitting there saying, like, oh my gosh, my biggest fear is not being able to let my kids go to college because I never went to college. And I've had this fear that my kids are going to be too broke to be able to pay for their college, or I have this fear that they're going to go to college and they're going to be $150,000, $200,000 in debt by the time they get done. They're going to get out of college with a piece of paper and $200,000 in debt, all because I couldn't help them. That's fear. Okay? So what happens? He's going to buy that program, right? Anything that keeps him from facing that fear. If he believes that there's a 1% chance that making this investment to build his business would allow him to pay college for his kids, he's going to do it. She's going to do it. Why? Fear. Okay? So now, let's look at our current state of events. We are being told, literally, you can turn on the news channels right now to most of the news channels I've seen, and on the right-hand side, the left-hand side, on the ticker, wherever, like somewhere, it has a death count. And that baby just keeps going. Okay, and we're up to like 50,000 deaths, I think, something like that. I don't know. I kind of stopped watching, to be honest with you, because it was, anyways. So as soon as you see 50,000 deaths, what do you do? What do you do? It strikes some fear in you. If you're a human, you have a pulse, right? You have compassion. You see that 50,000 people have died from this disease or from this virus. It invokes emotion. It invokes fear. It invokes all of these crazy emotions that don't allow you to think logical. Could you imagine? Okay, could you imagine if they had 24/7 the count of heart disease deaths that happen in our country? 600,000 of them a year. 600,000 people in our country die every year from heart disease. My dad, one of them, right? 600, I mean, it is crazy. Could you imagine if you had a ticker on your favorite news channel that showed all the people dying of heart attacks and heart disease every day? We would not eat another gram of sugar, right? If you are overweight, you would be in the gym so fast. If you have high blood pressure, you would be taking any medication that they could pump into you to lower your blood pressure. Like, do you understand how this works? It is all fear-based. Now, back to what I initially said, and hopefully those of you that are still with me right now, even if you don't agree that things have been overblown or blown out of proportion, I hope you're still with me, because this does kind of tie back to what I was talking about in the very beginning. That does not mean that I'm a person sitting here saying that this isn't a serious virus. For some of those people who are affected by this, they are going to die. And that is never good. And I don't want a single person to die from this virus. And I've taken all the precautions that we've been advised to take. We've been quarantined. We've been staying at home for the most part, you know, ever since this happened. Okay. So again, like, we don't live in this black and white society, but what I do encourage any of you to do is to take the emotion out of this, because emotion can get us in trouble if we're not careful. Emotion can be great, right? Like, sometimes, you know, it's great to have emotion, but sometimes also we have to be able to take a deep breath and look at facts and deal in logic. And the logical side of me says, okay, I want people to be able to run their businesses and have the freedom to choose. Because also, guys, like, we have a freedom. If, you know, if one of the local restaurants here in our town want to open up, that doesn't mean that there's going to be people flocking into the restaurant. In fact, I think that people are so freaked out, you could open every business tomorrow and most of them would still be empty, because most people are like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to kind of see how this plays out, right? Yeah, you're going to probably have some younger kids who think they're young and invincible that are going to go out there and, you know, party and whatever else. But part of, like, having freedom is having to understand that there's consequences associated with our freedom, right? You have the freedom right now to hop in your car and go drive in and kill somebody, right? You have that freedom, okay? Doesn't mean we should do it, okay? So if we have the freedom to go out and about right now, it doesn't necessarily maybe mean that we should do that, right? If we have the freedom to go grab a gun and do all kinds of horrible, crazy things, obviously it does not mean we should do it. But we also have to think about, what level of freedom are we willing to have in our life, in our country, right? Like, where do we want to fall on this? And I'm just asking the questions. I'm not sitting here telling you that I have all the answers to this. I mean, bash Trump all you want, but man, that guy is in a tough situation right now. Bash your local governor all you want, but he or she is in a brutal situation right now. Because on one hand, you have the thought of opening up the public, and let's say that 5% of our country gets infected, and, you know, whatever the number is, 1% of those, like, that is a huge number of people that could die from this if you just open it all up. On the flip side of that, if you keep everybody locked down, let's say all summer, and domestic abuse is already up, I saw one report, 40% since the quarantine stuff started happening. Suicides ultimately are going to go up because our economy's in bad shape. And you can go back and look at statistics, but anytime there's a down economy, suicide rates skyrocket. Okay, you can say that staying home and being safe is great, but maybe you're getting a government paycheck. Maybe you're on, you know, unemployment. Maybe you're on disability. But, you know, that person who had that small business and was barely struggling to get by doesn't get any assistance outside of maybe a $1,200 check that'll last for, what, a week? You know, they still have, you know, their restaurant leases to pay. They have their, you know, home mortgages to pay, their office space to pay, like, all of this stuff. And, you know, you're talking about people losing everything, like, literally everything. There's people who would say, I would rather go out and take my chances with a virus than lose everything I've worked my life for. So this is not black and white. And I guess what I would ask of everyone to do that listens to this podcast is just have some grace. Right? Just have some grace for other people's opinions. For, you know, if there's someone out there who wants to be locked down forever, great. More power to you. I encourage you to do that. If you feel like you are more susceptible or more vulnerable to this virus, absolutely, you should stay at home. But I also am not going to criticize those who are losing everything and they're begging to go back to work. I'm not going to criticize that woman who's stuck at home with the man who, you know, used to come home at night. And again, like, there's different reasons that people get stuck in relationships, right? I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, that woman who maybe is stuck with this guy who used to get home at work at 7 o'clock and he used to start pounding beers. And by 9 o'clock, he was drunk and maybe he was abusive, but maybe by 10 o'clock, he fell asleep. Well, guess what? That guy now might be drinking at 10 a.m., which means by noon he's drunk and he's abusive and he's awake all day. And there's a living hell going on for certain people right now that's far, far worse than what any virus could ever do to them, right? And so again, like, what I would ask of everybody is just to have some grace in this time. You know, don't have judgment. I understand there are nurses and doctors on the front lines who see this stuff and have seen how bad it is, and they're encouraging everybody to stay home, and I support them also. But what I would also ask is that understand that this is not always black and white, right? You can support Trump and not love everything that comes out of his mouth, right? You can hate Trump, I guess, but still be supportive of policies that he's put in place. You can, you know, kind of like I'd put on a post, like you can want to build multiple million-dollar businesses, but yet still value people, right? Because so often we're told that people who build big businesses are greedy and they don't care about anybody. And hey, certain cases that's true, but not always, right? So again, just understand there can be two truths that maybe seem polar opposite that really aren't. And so I feel like if we would just give each other a little bit more grace, a little bit more understanding, if we actually sought information and not just affirmation, right? Like if we actually wanted to get to the bottom of some of these statistics, I feel like some of us would feel better. Okay. Now, again, like the statistics have shown time and time again, if you're over 60, if you have underlying health problems, like you're the most vulnerable. It doesn't mean necessarily me at 37 and relatively good health is completely, you know, immune to this stuff. It doesn't. But it also means that I statistically have a very small chance of this affecting me poorly. Again, it doesn't, like, healthy people are dying from it as well. So it is scary in that regard. But we have to, like, we have to get out of this emotional fear-based response to everything that we do. Again, just coming back to the sales techniques that you know, we all learn if you're in sales. Like if you understand like how to sell, you look at so much of what's going on and you're like, I know that. I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing right now. They're scaring the crap out of you. So you just keep putting eyeballs back on that TV. Because every time they get a viewer report, a ratings report, and their ratings have gone up 50%, 100%, 200%, guess what? They go to the advertisers and they say, look, we're getting 3 million people watching our show. Ad prices just went up, right? So understand that this fear is selling. That again, two things can be true. You can understand what the media is doing and still have some concern about this virus and still, you know, want to wash your hands and want to use hand sanitizer and social distancing and everything else, right? Like, just don't get stuck in this binary thinking. That's all. That's all I ask. Just keep an open mind. And if you see me post something on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever that you don't agree with, tell me you don't agree with me, but don't think that I want people to die. How about that? So anyways, guys, like, I hope this episode was helpful. I know there's a lot of craziness going on. You know, I hope that maybe I can be one of the people who are a voice of reason, maybe add some context to some of the things that are going on. And if I can do that, it will be worth kind of the people telling me all these nasty things. And again, the messages that I have gotten from those of you that have reached out and thanked me, like, those messages mean more than anything. Again, I try not to get bogged down with some of the hate and stuff that ultimately happens on social media, but I'm human. Like, I am an emotional person, right? So it is, you know, I think we all are emotional people, right, for the most part. So it is nice to get those. But again, guys, like, I always appreciate y'all tuning in. I know that right now things are crazy. A lot of you are homeschooling kids. A lot of you are trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And so the fact that you're giving me a little bit of your time right now means the world to me. And if you aren't already, like I said, follow me on social media. Reach out to me if things are going bad for you. If you feel like you're in a really, really bad spot, reach out to me. Reach out to somebody. Like, don't feel like you have to go through this stuff all by yourself in isolation. Because it's not healthy mentally, right? It's not good for our mental health. So reach out to me, reach out to a friend, whoever. Anything I can do to help, let me know. So again, guys, I hope this was helpful to you. I hope to catch you next week. We'll have another awesome guest. Stay safe, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There's one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.